Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Revenue Growth Architects podcast. Welcome back if you're a longtime listener. And today we're going to be covering three tips for RevOps documentation. I mean, documentation is like the silent hero of operations. Like, it goes unnoticed. A lot of people sometimes avoid it, but when you do it and you do it well, it's amazing. It can change things and people love it. I think if you ask like a architect operator, what's one thing that is just so valuable, they'll probably say documentation, not even just for the one that they're doing, but you know, their predecessor. If anyone in the space knows Justin Norris, he also has a podcast. He talked about how he was so thankful he went into a new role and someone before him had all of this documentation that was left there. And that's unheard of for a lot of folks, especially as they're starting operations and startups or scale ups. But why? You know, why? So we're going to be talking through the three tips for documentation so you can adopt them and make not only documentation easy to stick to, because that's one of the big things, but also do it well.
What you just said really sparked something for me. And that was, when we're a part of really fast-paced companies, I often hear we move too fast for documentation to be relevant. Mm-hmm. And I think that the tips that we're giving today really will help demystify that, because it's not true. I mean, like, nobody's moving so fast that you can't document. So what we're trying to do is provide some tips to make it so that way what I just said is absolutely not true.
Good one. Yeah.
So I love documentation. Kind of a documentation fanboy, or whatever you would call it.
A stan.
Some people like Taylor Swift. Some people like documentation.
I know. Yeah. I mean, documentation would be probably a pretty cool name for a band, actually. The Documenters, or just documentation, like rap artists or something. So when I work on anything, I start with a document. And that's kind of my core tip here. I think the art and process of writing is so critical to helping you figure out what is true and what you need to do. You can get on a call and talk, but like when you actually have to write something down and put those thoughts onto paper, your brain has to do something different and go the extra mile to really think about what are you trying to write and achieve, because someone's going to read it and you really have to approach it differently. So the act of doing that, it helps you get yourself aligned with what you're doing. So a good document is going to have the title of the document, the goal of the project or the initiative that you're working on, like the stakeholders, the timeline, outlines, requirements, the different open questions that you're going to have. So when you start a project, just start to write all this stuff down and you will have the basis for the piece of work that you're working on. Without it, you're kind of just going in this ambiguous direction that maybe you have got slightly outlined in your head, but then it's really hard to get everyone else on board. So before you start anything, get a document down. I worked on a core AI project recently. Well, last year sometime, I did a couple of videos on AI and kind of what I was seeing, some cool use cases. One of them was around documentation, where you could get a Slack message, send it to Zapier. It will then take the message. I then sent the message with a prompt to OpenAI's API, and essentially it would give me back a lot of the different things you would need to write out the document, like the title of the document, what are some of the requirements that were discussed or need to be discussed. It would pull out the timeline. It would essentially just pull apart that Slack message and then build out a kickoff project document for you. And it was a nice way of doing it. I'm not saying you have to do something like that, but there are, I think AI, the use case for AI around summarization, kind of like extracting text and kind of building out documents is quite a good one. It doesn't have to do super advanced thinking to be able to do that, but it can save you a lot of time. But that's more of a side point. But really trying to start off with that document to get you aligned, to get the team aligned, and then you use that document throughout the lifecycle of that project. You'll update it during the project, you'll put comments in there, people will work from it, you put key decisions in there. And then the great thing is, at the end of the project, you have your documentation that you can use ongoing. So many people will wait until the end of a project to document something and then never do it, because they go, oh my God, like there's 6 months of work that I've just worked on, how am I going to document all of this? But if you do it at the beginning and then as you go, now you just need to polish it off at the end, maybe add some videos and we can talk about different content formats. But then you've really saved yourself the time and you'll actually stick to it. You'll actually get a document each time you work on something.
Yeah, I'm a stickler for this. Like when I see people collaborating or don't have a document first, I'm like, where's the document for this? But especially for your big projects, right? Okay, if you're just doing something small or whatever, maybe you put that into a change log, but having a document to start to get people aligned is like such a quick win and easy thing to do. So it's like, might as well.
It's a discipline. You guys are really good at it. I'm not nearly as good as both of you. So this is a do as I say, not as I do. I am definitely guilty of sometimes getting the message, do we have a document for this? And it's like, oh, nope. So when I go in and I have everything documented in a spreadsheet, you think that you have what you need. Like you can interpret what's in the spreadsheet. You could go and build something. But when you actually sit down and you start to document, like I'm going to need this, I'm going to need that. We're going to need these fields and here's the pick list values. I just did a project earlier this week where I had to document it for somebody on our team. And I realized that in the spreadsheet that the actual values didn't align with what they wanted, but it wasn't obvious from a spreadsheet perspective. But as soon as I sat down to write it out and say what we needed to do, it became really evident. So it also allows you to really fine tune those requirements before you ever put your hands on a keyboard to go about building something. So really, really important to have that right away. My tip is probably because I'm kind of guilty of this is don't put everything in comments in your project management tool or in Slack or in email. All of those comments that are surrounding requirements and build specifications and testing, those deserve to be in your documentation, especially if you already have something that's started, just making sure that you're building out and then utilizing the project management tool to say, I've updated it. Here's a link to those changes. That's the better approach. Otherwise, like you're going to lose sight of those tickets and asking somebody to go into Jira or ClickUp or some sort of tool and say, look through all of the comments and figure out what's useful and what's still relevant is going to be really, really difficult. Also, if you're making small changes, some of those small changes might be related back to that large project that you had previously done that has documentation. So again, don't just let that live in an email. Hey, can I change this? I changed it. Thank you. Go back to that original document and make sure that you keep that up to date with those changes. And it's a lot easier to do when you're not thinking about utilizing your PM tool as a documentation tool.
I think one benefit too of like a kind of master document, which I think Charlie kind of alluded to talking about AI, but when we think about long-term, maybe a goal to like train AI on all your documentation, like it's gonna be much easier for them to decipher through a well-formatted document or even video content that's very succinct. So I think you're doing like your future self a favor too, if you're gonna put more of like a rigorous program around it or using AI and so forth. So yeah, and I think having that in one central place is great. And thinking about project management is also a little bit different than documentation. So a document is more of like collaboration, documenting things, findings, requirements, all that. But it's also not the place where maybe people should just project manage the project or take in too many comments and reviews and things like that. So thinking through the difference of like when your project management tool should be used versus like when documentation should be used and so forth. Or knowing that down the line, you're going to have to do some cleanup to actually make it so that it's decipherable is really key there. Okay, so the last thing is really around the organization, which I kind of have alluded to, but really around how should we organize our documents in a sheet or a Notion, links in your tools. So we talked about starting with a document. So I do think that having documents for documentation is really useful for kind of what I talked about. But then it's like, what do you do with those documents that have your documentation? And I think us internally at CS2, we use Notion. We really like it. It's like really easy and friendly to use. You can be a bit more customized with it. But if you have like an internal like intranet or if there's like a central place that you can house your documentation, do that. The key thing here is accessibility. So making sure that it can be found. And then also if you can categorize your documentation and kind of list it out and have it be searchable, even better. third thing is if you can use AI. So one cool thing that Charlie and Xander just alerted me about, which I was a newbie on, but you can actually in Notion actually do the Ask Notion AI. So it'll actually search all your documentation. So great tool to use. But any way that you can ensure that there's like a central hub for documentation, the better, and making sure that people can actually access and use it. But then also thinking about like there are times also too when you can link out to that documentation and that from places where people are at. So I think about there's like technical documentation, and then there's also documentation for say like sales enablement or to get people aligned on something. And so that's where I think you might need to also meet people where they are and have some documentation there. So when I think about salespeople, SDRs, people that are in their workflow or someone looking at a dashboard, I think those are great opportunities to link out to documentation. So like recently we did a funnel project and there was a dashboard and we knew that there was going to probably be people looking at it who weren't familiar with the new funnel and the stages and so forth. So we actually linked out to a sales enablement deck like from the dashboard. Or we've had some cases where you can create a whole app page that people can just pin that actually includes your funnel stages and definitions and maybe the how-tos on creating an opportunity or so forth. And so that's more like enablement documentation, but still documentation. And I always say like meet people where they're at. And so if you can do that, the adoption rate is going to be like so much higher. And I think that's more for the enablement side rather than the technical documentation, which is a lot of what we're talking about now, but super useful to do. So the key thing here is ingestibility, discoverability, and then also trying to meet people where they are based on what they're actually doing is really key.
So I know we said we're only going to do three tips, but we had a really good thread the other day, I think kicked off by Brian on our team, asking what types of documentation does everyone prefer? And I thought the thread was really interesting. So I thought maybe if we go through each of us, like how do you like to consume documentation in the different formats could be an interesting way to end this episode.
I could probably start. I think it was echoing to some people, it depended on what the use case was, but my preference for documentation overall is I like video walkthroughs. I just think they're a bit quicker. You can watch them on 2x speed or whatever. It can tell the story a bit better. And so for anything that really is requiring like, oh, I created this flow or I want to show steps that you can actually show off really well in a Loom video, which is really easy to record. I think that's my favorite. And also it's really quick. A lot of people are like, get to the end of doing something. They don't want to document it because they're like, it's going to take me just as long to document this as it was to build it. But if you just do a short kind of video, I think that that can be super useful and people will actually probably more likely to watch it. But I do think there's also cases where you need to actually like map things out. Like if you have a table that shows your definitions and the names of it that people can quickly access, or if you are showing your different ABM tiers and what they mean and so forth. So I think when it's like walking through how something was built, a video is really great, or talking about a process you need to do or a quick action video. But if you're actually trying to display like key knowledge, like definitions and things like that, I think written is good. And if you want to do a mix of both for a project, even better.
Yeah, probably a mix is important. I just wrote down mine. So what I don't like is big walls of text. So if you're going to do text, I'm a bullet point person.
Yeah.
I think Chrissy and Xander, you might attest to this. Like we've created some documents recently. If you actually go back and double check them, I think everything is just in a bullet point.
Yeah. Even messages to people, I now just bullet point everything. All my Slack messages are just bullet points.
It's a life hack, just bullet points. I don't know why. I'm talking about being a fan of something, I'm a fan of bullet points. So bullet points for text, video, Looms. I love Loom. Another great use case for AI. I think what Loom's doing with AI is great, like titling the video for you, putting in the sections for the video, and then giving you a description of the video. And AI is really cool. It's literally like being able to manipulate time when you can watch a video. And I've trained myself. I can watch videos now like 2.5x speed. and still get most of the gist of it. Sometimes I'll have to go back. But I think if you get used to watching in like 2x speed, it can save you a huge amount of time, because often videos, people can waffle a bit, including myself, obviously. But if you can watch it in 2x speed, that 10-minute video is 5 minutes. And the last one is, we use the tool Whimsical for our process diagramming. I love being able to see kind of complex processes like detailed out into work in a workflow format using a tool like Whimsical. I think it's a really good way to visualize it, and you can get really creative in there and show really complex stuff like pretty easily. It'd be quite hard to explain in text, maybe even explain in a video, but having some visual Whimsical diagram can really help. So that's what I like for sure. Generally, every project by the end, you've probably got a mix of all three. You know, there's no project where it's just like only a text or only a video or only a Whimsical. You probably have a bit of all of them.
I'll just give my one bit, because I think I would echo a lot of what you guys say. I think videos are hard to maintain. So like, that's the one caveat that I'll make, is that if you make a change to the process in the future, you have to record a whole new video or splice it. You can at least edit in some of these tools, but just be mindful of that. I really like quick reference guides where you have an image and then you have your step-by-step, and then you have an image and you have a step-by-step. It's short and concise. So I'll utilize that like when we create program templates for people, or how to create a Salesforce campaign, or how to disposition a lead. It's not a lot of steps, but then you can give it very like specific outlines that somebody could just pull up, follow through, and then get it done. They take a little bit longer to stand up, but it's nice.
There's a tool, I wish I could remember the name. So I've used it before. It's like not Tangle, I think it begins with T, but it works really well. But yeah, it records you clicking, doing a process, and it'll put screenshots and text into what you're doing, and then you can just polish it off and done.
Oh man, we need this tool name. We'll share it. So I mean, hope that was really useful for everyone. Documentation, like we said, is key. And it's a must have, like really build into your time to be able to do it. And these tips will help you do it the right way, so you'll know that your time was not wasted, right? So yeah, if you found this useful, share it with a colleague or friend or your team. And we'll see you next time on the Revenue Growth Architects podcast. Have a good one.